This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. For businesses during pandemic, the watchword is pivot. Refashion the firm to play with rather than against the sudden new patterns of commerce. Okay, pivot. How hard could it be? Like playing the flute. All you got to do is blow and move your fingers in the right order. Well, there's a new online program called Back to Biz, where smaller entrepreneurs can hone their pivoting skills. It has funding from a famous entrepreneur, Howard Schultz, the former Starbucks boss. Joining us today from Renton, Washington, is Ephraim Fazaha of Boon Buna Coffee, who himself executed a nice pivot based on his Africa-sourced beans. Also on the line, Jasmine Starr, who's an instructor in that Back to Biz program. Welcome, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Ephraim, I'm going to start with you. Hate to bring you back to that time, but the pandemic lockdowns hit in 2020, and you need to do one of the big words of the pandemic. You need to pivot? Great. Let's all pivot. That'll solve whatever our problems are. But how do you know how to pivot?
Well, I think, especially for small businesses, pivoting is really something that only if you have the means to, can you really pivot. It's really a luxury, honestly, sometimes. Yeah, you know, you have to be agile, you know, quick on your feet and, you know, be able to make tough decisions. But really also there is a capital component to it. Sometimes there is. And that, once again, is sometimes not accessible, and especially in a time of crisis. And so it's very difficult to do. But, you know, trying to figure out how to make it happen is definitely the most important for the survival of your business.
Just to explain, Ephraim, what's the core of your business before the pandemic hits? How is it that you're trying to make money before?
Yeah, we would source, import, and distribute green coffee, which is the raw coffee bean. And then in January 2019, we opened up our roastery in Renton. And a year later, we were hit by COVID, but we had a cafe, which we opened up to our community. We would have pop-ups, poetry night. We would do all sorts of things. We'd have the library come in and read books to kids and sing songs. And it was like the most adorable thing. And so it would just be a packed house, a cafe, but with a community component, a community center component to it.
Jasmine Starr, help us out here, right? So when you hear the profile of Boon Buna before pandemic, had you been in touch with Ephraim, what might you have told him to do to approach the sudden needs of pandemic in an organized way?
I wouldn't give him any advice other than the advice that he had given himself. Every entrepreneur who survived and worked through and thrived during the pandemic was on the back of innovating and taking the little you have, and sometimes it felt like nothing, and making something from it. It was those people who remained undaunted and looked around and found gaps in a pre-existing market that they decided in small ways to stick themselves in. So who would have thought that Ephraim had ever imagined that he would have librarians reading to children in the Seattle area? And yet, on the back of that, it's now opened pathways, community, and different ways for his business to grow post-pandemic. And I think that this is what every strong small business owner did during that time.
So that's so interesting. So you didn't say raise a bunch of capital and hire a bunch of web designers. That's not what you have said to do. You would have said, first of all, leverage what you have, don't give up, and use what you know about your own business to move forward.
Absolutely. If I had said raise a bunch of capital and hire web designers, I think we would have been behind the eight ball. Nobody was giving capital during that time. Essentially, all investments had frozen. And so we have to take what we have, which a lot of people felt was nothing. And yet we go back to just the grassroots work of what it means to be an entrepreneur. It is to make a vision that only you can see into reality. And that's precisely what we relied on for success during that time.
So Ephraim, so I fully understand. So when the pandemic hits, what do you do?
Well, honestly, it was really just trying to figure out, well, what are the rules to operate your business? And so what can I do? What's the new regulations? And so, okay, I can't really have guests inside, but okay, how about I put a table at the door of the cafe, open up the doors, people can see me visibly outside, and we could just take orders at the door, go run, make drinks, and come back. And honestly, that worked to an extent, but we had lost over 60% of our revenue. And we had to think about different ways. And what we noticed was that traffic was hitting our website. More people were coming to our website and looking at our products. Now, it wasn't the nicest website at that time. And so we said, okay, maybe this is an opportunity here. Maybe there's a chance for us to work on the look and feel of our website, provide more information about the coffees that we have on our site, and maybe it translates into revenue. And, you know, to Jasmine's point, I didn't have the means for it, but I had a great and willing, loving cousin who did have the technical skills, who was willing to, you know, redo my website, and we started to see transactions happening on it.
Yeah. And then the cousin makes the website and it looks good and people want African sourced coffee, which is what you specialize in, but then you have to fulfill in pandemic. How did you work that out?
You know, we were trying to create incentives to get people onto the site, but then you're right, you know, and the back end was, how do we fulfill? So the coffee supply that we had kind of said, let's put a hold on making commitments for further out because we don't know what they expect from traffic. So we had to start figuring out what's our usage going to be. So looking at kind of increasing our inventory for what it is that we're foreseeing with our web performance. Additionally, then, you know, the shipping costs, which were also things that we wanted to reduce the cost for the customer, but at the same time, not feel that heavy burden. And especially as costs for shipping were increasing, it was something that we had to really kind of say, okay, is it worth giving 50% off on shipping to gain on the margin of the product? And it was all of these exercises that we had to do real quick to try making sure that that we weren't going to lose money trying to foster this new path of revenue channel.
Now, Jasmine, it's too bad he couldn't take a crash course, right? But that's the work that you helped do with this Back to Biz program.
Absolutely. And it's an honor to be one of a litany of amazing instructors giving back to business owners to ensure that they're thriving and succeeding. And one thing that Ephraim had noted is I believe that he is a perfect case study in displaying what has happened in the small business world, is that the strides that had happened in 1 year due to the pandemic, people were forecasting it was going to take 10 years. It was going to take a decade to make that type of progress in e-commerce. And Ephraim, on the back of learning and quickly innovating and pivoting, he now has a revenue stream that can scale once everything does go back to pre-pandemic levels of coffee consumption and customers coming into the door. And so what we do see now is that he has innovated, he has learned with a very sharp learning curve, and he had to do that mostly on his own, with many thanks to his amazing cousin. Now with the Back to Biz, there are so many different options for small businesses to go in and learn what they want to learn. So think of it as like a Nancy Drew or like a Hardy Boys series on choose your own adventure on what you need in your business at this point in time.
And Ephraim, before we go, you still getting the beans from Africa? The supplies are okay during this time of pandemic distortions of supply chains?
Supply chain, we're going to continue to source only from Africa. I mean, coffees there are incredible. But there are still challenges logistically. You know, there was definitely a supply and demand. There was a shortage and a surplus in certain places for containers. The movement of those containers and ship vessels and then arriving at ports and lack of personnel at ports. And so those impacts are still real. And then there was also truly even during COVID, in which business was business as usual, but then all of a sudden it came to a screeching halt. And those producers back in Kenya and Ethiopia and such were left with their crops in their hands. And so, which also produced a lot of challenges as well for them. They are, you know, in the supply chain, you know, the most impacted because it's their crop, really. You know, we're fortunate enough to receive their crop, but, you know, it really impacted them once things came to a halt. But things are starting to improve now, and hopefully they just continue to move in a better way as time continues on.
Ephraim Fasah is the CEO and founder of Bunbuna Coffee, and Jasmine Starr is CEO and founder of Social Curator. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for having me.